Welcome to St. Augustine this evening. It's Monday. For those of you that have just moved to St. Augustine and to Florida, this is your initiation week for hurricanes. And I've got a very special guest who's been through all the hurricanes almost since Menendez was here. Well, not that long, but I have a very special guest for y'all. I'm going to do a couple of quick reads and then we're going to get to that. But a lot of great information on the storm for you today. So stay tuned. Carmelo's Pizzeria, locally owned and operated by the Tringali family. They've been voted best pizza so many years in a row, they've retired it. They serve a fantastic New York-style brick oven pizza. They also have salad, subs, wings, and so much more. They offer dine-in, takeout, and delivery through both Bite Squad and Grubhub. And the Tringali family and all of their staff would like to thank you for your business during these unusual times, which this week will be an unusual time. So they're absolutely on the money. And South State Bank, the team at South State Bank, is a group of bankers you can count on. Their approach to building long-term relationships with their customers is the best in the business. If you're looking for a banking relationship you can depend on, check out South State Bank. They've got three locations to serve you here in St. Augustine, one on State Road 312, one on State Road 16, and my favorite, the branch over at the beach, or visit their website at southstatebank.com. They are a member of the FDIC. And I have with me the man who knows all the answers to everything hurricane related. Now, I'm just joking. He does not. Chief Jeff Pravat, welcome to the show. Well,
thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. Yeah. I know you guys have a little bit going on. I was trying to get you before, like, we could still get here, right? You'd have to take a boat or a high water vehicle to get here.
We could still get here today.
Yeah. So what do you have for everybody? I know you guys have access to some information that we don't. But so much stuff is out there anyway. What information?
Well, you know, it's still kind of early in where this storm's going to go. Every time we get another update every few hours, the cone shifts a little bit. So this is the time that I think everybody needs to be really paying attention to the storm, but also preparing themselves. And that goes all the way to our firefighters. That's one of the first things we do when we start getting ready for a storm is make sure that our firefighters know to get their family taken care of so they don't have to worry about their family, so that when it does get closer to us and we have to activate it, you know, bring them all in. They're not worried about their family. That's very important.
Yeah, I'm in the construction business, so we board some properties up. We have a long list. We stay in touch with those clients. And that's always the thing I tell them. I said, we have to have enough time to get yours done and then for our guys to get theirs done and get to safety. And, you know, some people, well, can you come the day of the hurricane and board up? I want to wait until that long. No, because we're gone, right? We got to send people out of here too, right? Our people have to be safe as well. So, yes.
Right. I mean, that's very, very important because it's going to be, you know, the next 3 or 4 days are going to be kind of busy for us. I think they're expecting, you know, what I'm hearing, they're expecting between 10 and 15 inches of rain in St. Johns County on top of the rain we've already had through September and into October. So it's real wet. So I would anticipate that being some flooding issues. There's been no decision made from a county level of when we're going to close county offices or if we're going to close county offices, what shelters are going to open, when they would open. We do have a policy group meeting tomorrow where we'll make some of those decisions because they're still saying about Wednesday evening is when this thing will start, our weather will start deteriorating, and we certainly want to, you know, have anybody's got to move before then. We don't want to move in during the middle of the storm, mm-hmm. for sure.
Well, and there's so many new residents in the county. Any advice to the new? I mean, you and I have lifelong residents of St. Augustine, right? We've been through everything. I can remember all the way back to Hurricane David in '79 was kind of the first one I really was aware of and had to deal with as a kid, and lived with all of them. So, any advice for somebody new that just moved here?
Yeah, really good. Listen to the professionals. Mm-hmm. You know, every decision we make when it relates to these storms, we put a lot of thought into it. You know, we don't order evacuations just to be ordering them. It's a lot of work to order evacuations and start closing or opening shelters, closing roads, closing bridges. So there's a lot of work goes into making that decision. If we make that decision to order evacuations, listen to it, because we're making it for a reason. And then if you're not in an evacuation area, this is not a time to be, now's the time to get your supplies. So that you know you have your medications, you know you have water, you have food, non-perishable food, so that you could be in your house for, I always tell everybody, 5 to 7 days, because you just never know. I remember Matthew, some of the parts of the county were without power for what, 7 days at least.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared to be on your own, because, and especially with a storm like this is kind of coming up from the southwest, it's going to hit a large portion of the state of Florida. So being able to get those additional resources from outside of our county is going to take time, just because everybody else is doing the same thing we're doing. They're preparing for that storm, getting all of their things in order so that they can respond to it appropriately.
And you had Matthew was kind of a worst case storm. David, a little bit, the ones that drag up the coast, that bounce off the East Coast or the West Coast and hit multiple locations, are the worst kind of storms, because you're really impacting a large area. The entire population of Florida is on the coast. So you're hitting the where we're heavily populated, and then you got to get all those people back up and on power. The neighborhood that I live in is served from two power grids. So with Matthew, the people on the north side of the street had power within 24 to 48 hours, 7 days for the south side of the street, right? With Irma, 24 hours later, the south side of the street had power. We were 7 days without power, and it was because a tree had fallen on a line, and the neighbor's like, oh, yeah, the tree guy showed up. It was day four, right?
Right.
They said there's a power crew attached to them, and they'll be here any minute to hook this up. I said, that power crew is three counties south.
Right.
Working their way to catch up. They took the tree off. That's the easy part.
That's right? The easy part.
Now yeah. They got to rewind. And I said, let me tell you where they got to go to do this. Sure enough. And the other thing I tell people, if you're in a neighborhood that's a large neighborhood, you're going to get power back really quickly.
Correct.
If you're in a small, if there's you and four other people without power, until everybody that has five people and up has their power, they're not worried about you. They're working on a number of people.
Yeah. But I do think that I know that the Florida Power and Light has put a big effort on increasing the infrastructure to make it a little more stronger for yes. our communities since those storms. So we're hoping that it'll be able to come back on faster. But I would anticipate trees down, power lines down, people to be without power. So that's what you need to prepare for, especially if you've never been through this. It's different than a snowstorm, I would say. I've never been through a snowstorm, but I've been through plenty of hurricanes.
And that's not true. It did snow here in 1977.
We had one in 89.
89, too. It did. Yeah. 89. They could shut the bridges down.
Shut the whole county down.
For us, it was epic. It was a half an inch. It was epic.
They closed all the bridges, the interstate. Everybody shut 95 down. Yeah,
people from up north are like, what? This is like Tuesday, right? Of course, for us, with rain and wind, we're like, this is Monday. We're going to be fine, right? We're okay. Yeah. It's just fine where you live. Kind of depends on that. But I think the city has also hardened a lot of their infrastructure.
Correct.
Right. They're raising all of their lift stations, which were at, very susceptible to flooding, which knocks out the sewer system. So they've done a really good job the last 6 years of improving all of those. So a lot of this will be a good test for some of the things we've
improved. It will be. Hopefully this is all an exercise, and we're just getting ready for a non-event. It would make for a nice week for us, but then now's the time to get ready. That's what we're doing internally. We're setting our plans in motion. We've stood up an incident management team in conjunction with the sheriff's office and the city of St. Augustine, so that we have one unified response to whatever this brings to us.
And you have a great relationship with the city.
Absolutely.
I mean, the both police and fire.
Absolutely.
And I think that's that's a testament to the county staff and the city staff. Because it's real easy to get into a rivalry when you share different areas that you serve, and you guys have always done a great job of not.
Yeah, we do really, really well, and we don't even look at boundaries anymore. I mean, even on a normal day, a normal call, if you need a fire truck, we're going to send you the closest fire truck, whether mm-hmm. it says St. Augustine on the side of it or St. John's County on the side of it. We want to get the help to you as fast as we can, and that's what we'll do through this as well. We will respond accordingly, based on whatever it brings to us.
And it wasn't always that way in the county, right?
No, sir,
in the city, it was not. There were times that boundary line, people took that seriously. And I'm so glad you don't. I had somebody tell me, we can't do this because half of this parcel will be in the city and half will be in the county. I'm like, they'll figure it out. Right. They're going to come give you service, right? It's all going to be okay. It doesn't matter where that line
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I mean, we have actually places in the northern part of the county that part of the complex is in Duval, part of the complex is in St. John's, and we ignore that.
Yes.
So, because that's the best interest of the public. I mean, just to get the right help to there the fastest.
And we had a question about sandbags right before. So what's our announcement on sandbags?
I know they are doing sandbag locations. They just put it out about 15, 20 minutes ago that they are doing sandbags, but I don't know the location.
Amanda, do you have that information?
Yes, I do. I just posted it in the comments of the stream. So if you want me to read it out, I can for you.
Yeah, if you would. Just tell me when you're ready. I know I surprised you on that, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's fine.
Live radio.
St. John's County is providing free sandbags at 9 a.m. September 27th, 2022 at 6 locations throughout the county in preparation for Hurricane Ian. The sand and the bags provided are free of charge. Residents must provide their transportation shovels and are responsible for filling their own bags. There is a maximum allocation of 20 bags per person. The sand and bags are available between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Tuesday, September 27th and Wednesday, September 28th, weather permitting. We've got windswept acres at 5335 State Road State Road A1A South, Solomon Calhoun Center, 1300 Duval Street, Hastings Town Hall, 6195 South Main Street, Mills Field, 1805 Racetrack Road, North Beach Park, 3721 Coastal Highway, Palm Valley, underneath the Palm Valley Bridge on the east side of the Intercoastal Waterway. For additional information, please call the St. Johns County Emergency Management Citizens Information Line at 904-824-5550. 5550.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
And that's also a good number. That number she just gave out, Mike, is a good number for citizens to have questions. Because that's the community information bank at the Emergency Operations Center, so they'll be answering the questions for you.
And the other thing is, if you're new here and you go, I've never seen one of these, don't go driving around in the middle of the rainstorms. Right? If you're new here, you don't know what roads flood. We do. We've seen them flood. Don't go do it. Just stay home, right? And then as soon as it's over, don't go driving around, because in a lot of instances, people are trying to recover from whatever happened bad to them in the event. I mean, on the island, the worst ones are the people that go sightseeing, driving 20 miles an hour, and they create this wake of water that's left in the road, and you've got this house that's already been inundated, and it just drives these floods waves, floods it again. It's like, don't go do that.
Yeah, and I would tell you, nobody to get out and about as soon as the storm passes, because we're going to go out and do some damage assessments. We're going to do looking to make sure it's safe for you to travel. We got to get the roads cleared. We got to get the power lines out of the road. We got the trees out of the road. So it's not a safe thing to do, to go sightseeing and wait a few days. That's why I say, you know, have yourself prepared to stay 5 or 7 days at home, because it could take that long.
Yeah, because that water you're driving through may have a down power line in it.
It could,
and you won't know until it's too late.
Yeah,
don't go do those things.
Right.
Yeah, we're trying. I mean, it's just, and you see it all the time. So, well, I'm going to go to the beach and see how the way. You shouldn't be going to the beach. And look, that's not the time to go see what's going on.
No, and that was the other thing I would tell the people that have not been through this before, too. You know, one of the things that comes along with these storms is rip currents. Mm-hmm. And that ocean becomes very angry, as we call it. And it's very dangerous to be out there. If you're not used to swimming in that ocean, this is not the week to try it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the rip currents are going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once that wind starts blowing out of the northeast, it's going to get pretty dicey. So,
and that's what they're predicting.
Yeah. So you guys, the EOC starts tomorrow, right? Emergency Operations Center.
It's partially activated today. I anticipate sometime tomorrow afternoon we'll go to level one activation, which is everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you know, our plan based on we'll see what the next forecast of the storm is, but we'll probably really ramp up extra staffing on Wednesday. And be prepared. So when these things happen, we actually bring additional staffing in from our normal staffing. We staff what we call storm trucks. And basically that's a smaller vehicle, all-wheel drive vehicle that can pour the trees down and the power lines and stuff to keep from having to drag a big fire truck around. At least get around a little bit better, a little smaller. But we'll do that probably starting Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening.
And the EOC, where are you guys located now? Where's the center located? Is it still here on Lewis Speedway, or have you moved to 16?
It's at 16.
They stay road 16.
It's actually EOC Drive, so it's out behind the Ag Center.
Got its own road.
Yeah, it's EOC Drive.
It's EOC Drive.
So it's out by Mosquito Control. That's where the Emergency Operations Center is, and that's where we'll make a big part of it. And then my staff, from an incident management standpoint, will work out a fire rescue mission.
Yeah. And people don't realize the river's a big flooding instrument as well during this. I mean, with both Matthew and Irma, we had a lot of river flooding as well.
And they're talking about that same kind of situation with this one because we've had some unusual high tides already. Mm-hmm. So with that northeaster building in, it's not going to allow the St. John's River to go down when the tide goes out. And they're anticipating somewhere along the river, those creeks off the river could really be a flood.
Yeah, and people are like Hastings, right? You go, well, Hastings is inland. It's not right on the river, but there's a lot of tributaries that run around Hastings. Right. And Hastings took a lot of damage during both Matthew and Irma because of the river flooding, the creeks that flowed into the river.
Yeah, and that's part of what we're doing with our plan is we know the places that are susceptible mm-hmm. to flooding, so we'll pre-stage some what we call urban search and rescue staff that are trained in that, and they will, they'll have the boats, they'll have high water vehicles, they'll have the ability to move trees if they need to, mm-hmm. Because we know that we're going to get some flooding in some of those areas. I mean, I think people that grew up here, you know downtown St. Augustine flood. We know that, especially at high tide. But you also...
On a thunderstorm Friday afternoon.
I've definitely seen it. It's and that's been my whole life, so I mean, that's not new.
And we're more worried about water this time than wind. I mean, the wind doesn't look like it's going to be...
Yeah, they're not predicting sustained hurricane-force winds, and maybe some tropical storm-force winds, but they're mm-hmm. really concerned. What they keep going back to in the briefings I've been in is the 10 to 15 inches of rain. And that's a lot of rain because they're predicting the storm as it gets closer to the shore is going to slow down, so it'll be with us a little longer than some. So that's the thing that they're worried about is, with all the rain we've had, plus you had 15 inches and a little bit of storm surge, it's going to get wet.
And we're going to be on that right upper quadrant, which is the wrong side of the storm to be on, right? That's the side that generally has the higher winds and most of the rainfall.
Right.
So we're going to be there, and if it slows down, we could be there for an extended period of time.
A couple of days.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, and normally you've been through a lot of these with us, too, and they normally go by pretty fast, but this one they're predicting will slow down, which means it's just going to kind of Wednesday, Thursday, maybe into Friday before it really starts getting out of here. Mm-hmm. That's just a lot of water.
It is a lot of water. I think I'm trying to do the normal September rainfall in my head, and I think it's somewhere between 12 and 15 inches maybe. I mean, it's the highest rainfall month we have.
It is.
And you're talking about dropping that monthly rainfall in about 48 hours.
Correct.
On top of what's been a pretty normal rainfall for this month already.
Well, I know in September I had over 8 inches at my house. I was mm-hmm. Chelsea South, so... we got plenty of water. We don't need any more water. But it's I mean, that's what they're really worried about more is the flooding than the winds. I think it's going to be we're going to be in for a busy couple of days, just dealing with that.
Yeah, and the flooding was for me, and probably usually we've had flooding, but never of a level that we had at Matthew.
No,
and I think everybody that caught all of us by surprise from a preparedness. Where we hadn't seen that flooding probably since Dora or Donna in the 60s.
Right.
And now you're like, okay, we haven't seen this in 40 years, and now we're dealing with. So the prep, to me, for the flooding part takes even longer than the wind prep.
Well, one of the things we learned from Matthew is we didn't really have all the equipment we needed to deal with that flooding. So we ended up getting some additional equipment so that it's a little safer to be mm-hmm. out in that water. Because that's once that water all combines in a flood, it's not clean water, so not what you want to be walking around in either.
No, it's not.
Just like that.
Listen, the if you're on a sewer system, the sewer lines are running, right, in the storm sewer, there's all kinds of stuff in there. That water goes down in that storm sewer, it brings everything out back with it, right? If you're in septic tanks, it's flooding over top of your septic tanks and your drain field, so yeah, stay out of that.
Yeah, stay out of the water.
Yeah, stay out of the water, 100%.
And don't drive through it.
Don't drive, yeah, that's the... For me, the thing is a local, right? When it floods downtown certain times, it's rainwater. But there's other times it's salt water.
Correct.
And you watch these people drive through it at 20 miles an hour, you're like, yeah, bottom of that car's in trouble. Yeah. Right? That's not, you just don't do that. You don't know whether it's salt water or fresh water, so yeah, don't drive through it.
No, don't.
Don't drive through it.
It'd be a learning experience, I think, for people that haven't been through this before, and hopefully mm-hmm. it'll be not as bad as some of the others, but it's make people kind of wake up and realize that if you haven't been through this before, this is something you can expect. September, October, normally our time of the year that we get these, and we deal with them all the time. We'll be ready to respond to whatever we need to respond to.
We have wildfires occasionally.
Occasionally.
No earthquakes.
No earthquakes.
Right? Tornadoes every once in a while, right? So we're not in that. And the hurricanes, it's coming. We're in the one part of the country where, like, this will be here in 4 days. This will be here in 6 days. You have time to get ready. If the earthquake were to happen now, none of us would be ready for it. Right. You're just, it's what happens and you have to deal with it. So that's kind of one of the blessings. And the other, I would tell people, if you haven't been through this before, and right now all the weather people and our fire and safety people are telling us it's 10 inches or 12 inches of rain. If it's 5 inches of rain, we got lucky.
Right.
The next time you don't go, well, they told me it was going to be 12 inches and it wasn't, so it won't be this time. No.
No.
It could be worse, right? We could say 12 inches and we could get 17 inches.
Right. You could.
You could. Well. I mean, so you have to be prepared for that every single time.
You know, and I think it's Mother Nature. I mean, they're much better at predicting these storms now than they were years ago, even probably when Matthew came through. But it's still a science, and they're still trying to figure it out. So they change their models every 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., you'll get a different forecast. So that's kind of what we're looking at tomorrow, is getting that 11 a.m. update from the National Hurricane Center and National Weather Service, so that we can, you know, make those decisions on what needs to happen. Because there's all kind of things. You got schools in session right now, so there's all kind of things that come into this when these storms are coming.
Well, and if you watch the cone, right, there's a reason the cone is really wide 4 days out. Because there's a lot of variability. When you're 1 to 2 days, I think pretty much tell you it's going to be here in this area, and it generally probably is. So, yeah, we'll get better as we get a little closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the cone gets smaller, and you fit in. And you always want to be outside the cone, and you never want Jim Cantore to show up in your neighborhood.
No, no.
When Jim Cantore shows up in your neighborhood, it's too late.
Yeah. Normally, I like being in the cone on the first day when they first predict it, because they're never that good.
We've said a long time, if you're the center of the landfall 7 days out, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be okay. There's enough variability. But if you're outside the cone 7 days out, you should still worry.
You should still worry. It's going to move. They're down.
Yeah. We were downtown during one of the 04 hurricanes, and it was at the diner at the old Woolworths building. And there was a reporter from one of the national channels, and she said, well, if I walk to the end of the street, will I see flooding? We said, if you walk to the end of the street, you'll be in the flooding.
Yeah, you'll be there.
I said, you just have to decide how deep you want to be.
Exactly.
I said, you'll be in it 100%. Yeah, I said, you'll get that. So your staff, do you guys bring people in, all the fire departments staff up pretty heavily?
We will. We'll staff, depending on what the forecast looks like, but we'll certainly bring on additional people. I mean, if it gets, as an example, like Matthew, being that it was coming up the East Coast and we were really right in the bullseye till the last minute, we do what then we call an Alpha Bravo. So we bring everybody to work. Half of them work the day first 12 hours and the other half work the second 12 hours. And part of that we do because I can't, they're at home, can't get them,
yeah,
you know, because of that storm and the height of that storm. But we're not anticipating having to do that with this one, but there will be some additional staff required to manage it, and we'll do, you know, we'll bring whatever staff in we need.
And facilities, you've been upgrading and updating and building new fire stations. I'm sure you're not caught up, because growth has been phenomenal the last 2 years.
No, I don't know if we'll ever get caught up. As long as, I mean, it's a never ending battle to try to keep up with the growth. I mean, I looked the other day. I was actually at a community meeting in Nocatee over the weekend, and just before I went in there, I looked to see, and you know, we just passed over 50,000 events in our computer dispatch system this year. We're in September, so we still got more months to go for the years out. But
so how many do you think you did the first year you worked for the fire department?
Oh man, the first year
fire I worked services
with, we probably done 1500. I mean, I'm in my 41st year, so
I know, I was going back there, but you know, there wasn't a whole lot, but 50,000-60,000 people in the county
early 80s, we only, when I started in 1982, we had two ambulances that worked 24 hours a day. Today, currently, as we said today, there's 16.
Well, and if you look at all the old fire stations, right, compared to what the new one is, you got rid of two, I think, in the south,
right,
and put one out on US-1, which that's a phenomenal fire station, right? But they, you know, back in the day, it was a concrete block building that was big enough to house two engines, barely, and then, you know, some staff if you were lucky,
right? I mean, and that was, you know, I mean, that's part of a lot of the older stations were built for they were volunteer stations, and they really served that purpose. I mean, I was a volunteer for many, many years myself, but you know, modern day stations, we build them so that they can handle this storm.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the structures and the fire stations, you know, falling down because of the storm. They'll handle it very, very well. and all the new ones are having generators, so they'll be able to function. And it's, you know, it's important that we're able to keep those firefighters their ability to do their job. Mm-hmm. I'll do my best to stay out of the way and let them do their job because they're really good at it, and we'll get through this.
Yeah. Let's see. So that's, we talk about that staffing. How's, you guys have gone from, during your time in fire services, from volunteer to full time. How many staff do you have now, and how many are you?
There's about 330 that mm-hmm. are on the street.
Yep.
Total employees, I've got about, there's about 400, but there's about 330 on the street, 110 a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in the process right now of getting ready to put a bid out for a new station out by the county golf course, 2795 area, and where the, if you go in by where the county golf course is where the first tee used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a combined, be smaller than the one on US 1 South, but it will be combined with the sheriff's office. So he'll have a little presence out there. We anticipate that being about spring of early summer of 24.
You added like 70% to the budget of the last one, right?
We've already found that out. That's a very good point. I mean, you're in the construction business, but we actually first started out looking at what we did on US 1 South Station 5 and realized pretty quickly that was not obtainable. So we
now, you guys did that about 3 or 4 years ago before all this craziness hit and supply chain issues. And yeah,
I think that one was somewhere around, I don't get it exactly, but around $9 million.
Mm-hmm.
Change. The estimate to redo it now came in at like $16 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane where numbers have gone to. And people will call and they go, oh, well, but plywood, but lumber's down. I'm like, yeah, you see, gas is down too, but it's still not down to where it was before, right? Yeah. And so instead of paying 2.5 times, we're just paying 1.5 times. It's still way up there.
And we've seen that with everything. I mean, we've seen that fire truck prices increase and pretty regularly now. They're increasing because the manufacturer's costs are going up, and they're just going to pass that cost on to us as the buyers. But it's a big balancing act to try to balance it all.
It is. So in our industry, we're dealing with a lot of supply chain issues. Are you dealing with supply chain issues on some of the basic things that you guys use every day?
We can be, yeah. I mean, I think more that we have supply issues is really parts for our trucks, mm-hmm. Like anything else. But, you know, as an example, before we had all the supply issues, order a fire truck, it's about 12 months. Just last week, I met with the vendor, 25 months to get a fire truck, because it's just, they're waiting on their supplies too, and
mm-hmm.
motors and getting from Cummings and those kind of things. But we have had some trucks waiting on parts for them, taking weeks to get them. Just that, I mean, we're no different than anybody else. It's just,
we're all fighting through it, right? And how we got from 2 weeks to slow something down to you now wait 18 months for parts and days. Like, I'm trying to figure out how we went from there to here, but you know, it's in every industry. Mm-hmm. And it's across the board, and we deal with it in just about everything. I mean, it's electrical panels are one of the biggest things, right? I mean,
oh really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you'll have a bigger electric panel in that service because you're also switched over from a generator. All the things that you guys are doing, that'll be one of the things that you order first,
right?
So if you want to look really good in your meeting with do we order that first?
Yeah,
order how did you know? So yeah, it's tough to get some of those parts. AC parts are another one. Trying to get compressors and equipment and that.
We've actually, we've seen it with medicines, too, for the ambulances, mm-hmm. and you know, we've had to adjust to different medications over the last few years at times, because you can't get certain times, and then they'll show up, but it's just a constant battle.
Well, we have, so if you walked in my lobby today, right, there's a big box out there on skids. No one told me they delivered that box to the lobby today, right? They just, some guy delivers it. So we get those kind of deliveries. We have no idea where they came from, right?
Right.
And, you know, we have mail service right now that in our complex is random.
Oh, yeah.
It comes at different times of the day. We have a box that's labeled. Sometimes people are going, hey, I got yours. Here's yours. Yeah, it's just really interesting now. Deliveries on everything.
It is.
Oh, it's been shipped. Where is it? Oh, we don't know. It's just been shipped.
It's been shipped.
It's been shipped. Well, thanks for that. So just to recap, we're looking at a wind event. Not much of a wind event, but a water event. and really through Wednesday, midday, probably through Friday.
Something like that. That's what I
Unless it slows down.
Unless it slows down. But that's kind of what they're talking about now in the last briefing I had. And they're real more concerned about flooding and the rain. And we will have wind. There will be wind, but that's not their big concern. They're really concerned about the amount of work. Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, when you don't have anything to do and you're waiting for one of these to pass by, in 2004, we had four of them hit Florida, three that we dealt with.
Yep. Back to back to back.
Back to back to back. And it's sitting, not having much to do, waiting for the power to come back on and listening to the wind howl.
Yeah.
And you can't believe how loud the wind is. It's just, you're going, let's see, that's been a good 12 hours of that wind. It would be nice if that kind of toned down a little
bit. We'll have some pretty good winds, but it won't be, it won't be hurricane strength. They're not predicting that at this point.
And I'll be curious. I know you're at the beaches. I'll be curious to see what happens. I was on the beach this morning, and that beach erosion will be interesting to see because we should get. Most people, right? The hurricane is bad for us, but the prolonged northeaster has caused more damage to the beach than a hurricane, and that's what we're getting ready to have is a prolonged northeaster attached to a hurricane.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Where can people go if they want to get information and updates?
Well, they can go to the St. Johns County website. They can actually call that number we gave a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I think you put it on the list at 904-825-5550, I think.
Okay,
825-5550. It's the one that,
824-5550. It's a good thing we have women to check on because we would be toast. I'm telling you that right now.
So that's the citizens information line.
Yes.
At the Emergency Operations Center, so it'll be staffed and they can answer those questions. Mm-hmm. There'll be 15 or 20 people.
What's it like working at the new EOC versus the old EOC?
Night and day. Night and day. It was a lot more room, a lot nicer facility, much more secure facility.
Yes.
Because the other one was used to be white potato chip.
It was a potato chip plant. Yes. They got converted.
They got converted, so that the sheriff's office is still using office space currently. Yeah. But it's nice. It's good to have everybody in the same room. It's what's amazing you'll see in one of going through these events is every different department in the county will have people in that EOC, county, city, state, and it's just amazing to watch them come together and solve a problem. That's what we do. It doesn't matter what your full-time job is. Our job now is to manage the storm, and they'll all pull together.
And do you have reps from Florida Power and Light, JEA?
Yes.
Obviously, the utilities is in there as well. Yep. Yeah, that was I remember during, I think it was Matthew or Irma, the utility department shut down the water on the island, which is a very controversial thing. But you don't know you're leaking until you're out of water, and you don't know that you've broken a pipe during a storm necessarily. And one of the cities south, I think it was Ormond Beach, it was either Ormond or New Smyrna, one of those, did not shut down the water. The island had a break.
Oh.
They lost almost all of their water, reserve water, which then impacts you fighting a fire for 3 days after the storm.
3 days, yeah.
Yeah. So you're trying
to... anticipate having to do that this time. I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
Utility standpoint because it's just rain.
And if they ask you to leave the area, leave the area.
Yes.
Leave. Don't hang around. We've got a lot of old timers here that I've lived through all of them. I'll make it through this one too. And I'll say his name. He's not with us anymore, but I got a call. One of my neighbors was Coach Perpich. Mm-hmm. And it was the middle of Hurricane Matthew, the middle of Friday, maybe 2 o'clock or something. And then my phone rings. I'm like, Coach, please tell me you're not at home. We had evac'd out, right? We were in Tampa, and so we're not there. I got a tree that just fell on the side of my house. I said, well, did it fall through your house or is it on the side? Nope, it's on the side. I need somebody to come take it off. I said, well, Coach, we're not coming today, and we're not coming on Saturday, maybe not even Sunday, but I will get you the first part of next week. I mean, it's like, Coach, no. Why are you still there? We've been through all of them. We weren't leaving.
Yeah, and you get a lot of people like that, and I mean, that's why I said when we started this, if we order evacuation, and I don't know that we are, but if we order evacuation for this storm, listen to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of thought goes into that. And, Matthew, we evacuated the Barrier Islands, and some people didn't leave from Matthew, but I would tell you that after it was over, they probably wish they had them.
Yes.
Because it was not a fun ride.
Mm-mm.
On that island.
No. The lucky ones get to tell you it wasn't a fun ride.
Right.
The unlucky ones aren't there to tell you it wasn't a fun ride. And once you're in that, there's nobody coming to get you. I mean, you're in deep trouble till it's over. You're on your own.
Well, it was like that with Matthew. There was a point in time with Matthew that we really, it was too dangerous for us to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, we were going to get you in a few hours. And I mean, we had people call from the island. And we got there 6 or 7 hours later.
Yeah.
Because we physically couldn't get to them.
Nope. No, I mean, you're at that point, you're endangering your staff and your personnel to try to save somebody who was like, I'm not going to listen to what your staff and personnel told me to do
right
2 days ago or right a day ago. Yeah.
And I think we'll have more information out to the public tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the plan to really kind of solidify what we're going to do and what actions we're going to take.
Yeah, and we're all hoping that it's going to do exactly what we said. But if it shifts to the east
and it
doesn't downgrade at the time they think it is, we're in a whole different ballgame. Right. So pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
We'll get through this.
Yeah. Come back and see us. We have tons of other things to talk about
sure,
that you're
I'd love
doing.
To come
and
back.
Yeah. And I was doing research on your bio. I didn't even get to pick on you. Local guy, grew up here.
Born and raised.
St. Augustine. Yeah, graduated from St. Augustine High School.
Yeah. Yep. I was born in the Florida East Coast Hospital.
See, and that, it's really interesting when you ask those questions. So I was at a EDC breakfast probably 6 years ago, and Jason Barrett from Flagler Hospital was giving a presentation, and I was introducing him, and I just asked him, for curiosity, raise your hand if you were born in the original Flagler or East Coast, and there were 100 people in the room. I think 12 was
oh,
the
wow.
It was like, yeah, there's a lot of people that weren't born here that are here now, right? Yeah. And we're great. We love you guys. We're happy you're here. But, yeah, just interesting when you run into all the old locals.
No doubt.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Jeff.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Good luck the next couple days.
I will.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to do a couple reads. Amanda's going to slide in here. And we got all kinds of other stuff. We'll take a little bit lighter the rest of the show, but really want to thank Chief Pravat for coming in and making the time for us before it gets really busy on his schedule. A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing. They offer free estimates. They've been serving St. John's County for over 20 years. They offer painted metal roofs for saltwater area homes with warranties up to 25 years. And A to Z offers shingle roofs with warranties up to 50 years. A to Z also installs tile roofing, cedar shake shingles, designer roofing, and flat roof coverings. You can go to their website, A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing.com, and see all kinds of photos and material descriptions of recent jobs. Call Chuck McCone over at A to Z, 669-8037, and they will take care of you. That might be a timely read right there. That might actually be a timely read. And Hebert Kresge & Associates, they're a full-service local CPA firm with a team of skilled professionals dedicated to providing top levels of service in the areas of tax compliance, planning for businesses, individuals, estates, and trusts. They also do audits, reviews, and other accounting services. They can help you with a business valuation, forensic analysis, or litigation support. You can reach them at 460-0747 or online at abearkreskecpa.com. Give Billy and Ken a call. Wonderful, wonderful folks. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And Isabella, how are
in
you doing?
I'm doing good.
Was Monday at homeschool okay?
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, teacher was all right today?
Yeah, she was okay.
How would you grade the teacher today? You understand she's driving you home. Just
an A.
Okay, very good. Well done. Well done.
Got a brand new batch of candy, so my kids are very happy.
What kind of candy?
They wanted Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M's, Skittles, and Sour Patch Kids.
I'm going to have to get you guys, get Miss Darcy to make some more cookies. Yes. And send those back to the homeschool group.
Those are good.
Those are amazing cookies.
Amazing cookies.
They're awesome. I will get some made and get some delivered to you.
She brought food to my parents when my mom had her first knee done. Mm-hmm. And I came in after she had dropped them off, and I was like, you got Darcy cookies? And my mom was like, they're amazing.
Yeah, they're the best cookies ever. That's all I'm going to say. They're just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. They're made with love, and that's how they taste. They taste amazing.
Absolutely.
All right, so any other hurricane information you picked up while Chief Bravat was talking to us?
No, I was just looking at the spaghetti models. I mean, I just need to out of here before Croctoberfest this Saturday because I've got a date night and I don't want to miss it.
I don't want you to miss it either, and I think you're going to be okay Saturday night.
I hope so.
Right now, based on everything I'm seeing and the fact that you found out that through our listeners, Jim Cantore is in Clearwater.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you, Clearwater.
So you don't want Jim Cantore to show up. You also don't want to be at a dinner party with Angela Lansbury. Those are the two like bellwether guests. You don't want to be around those two. Yeah.
And this literally is initiation week for those new Florida residents, right? Yeah. Florida is like, we got this. We understand what we're dealing with. And there's a lot of preparations that people make. And you should heed these things and the warnings that are being given. Don't underplay. So it's not an Andrew, right? But it's still a bad storm and things can change in a couple of hours. So keep an eye on the weather reports and what's going on. I mean, it could go from what we think will be a wind event with some rain to a huge rain event with even more wind. So pay attention.
For sure.
Pay attention. Yep. I had a neighbor one time who remained nameless, and we were waiting for the hurricane. It was in 04 when we had the multiple. So this was like the second storm that was coming. And I hear this chainsaw running and running and running and running. Yeah. And I go outside. This has been running for 20 minutes, and my guy radar has completely, it's like,
you cannot resist
somebody
anymore.
Is working in the neighborhood somewhere. Yeah. I have to go see what they're doing, right, and have a conversation about it. He has cut down an oak tree, and it is laying in the road. It is blocking me from leaving the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We had an elderly neighbor between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And she was worried that the tree would fall over. I'm like, yeah, kind of a concern. But I said, now it's over, right? It's blocking the road. Yep. So instead of a tree falling over, right, we're now going to have to cut this tree up. We don't have any place to put the pieces. But if a big storm wind comes along or a tornado, it's going to pick up all the pieces of the tree and sling them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of that, he says.
Yes.
I said, I'm going to go get my chainsaw. I'll help you finish this. So the next storm came by a couple weeks later. I go knock on the door. Where's your chainsaw? He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm holding it hostage until the storm is gone, and then I'll give it back to you. You're not allowed to cut anything down before the storm comes along.
So when we bought our house 3 years ago, there was a storm barreling in as we were closing on the house. And I was determined the storm's not coming. It's not going to be a problem. But the house we bought, we knew we were going to have to take trees out of the backyard because they were literally on the house. Well, that became a finish up at the closing table, meet friends at the house with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a fence along the back border, so we cut everything down, cut it as small as we could, and just shoved it into the berm, all the trees, so that it wouldn't blow around.
Yeah.
And so we got it off the house. Luckily, the storm wasn't a big deal. It was a glorified thunderstorm. But,
well,
we had three houses we had to prep, and then chickens we had to watch because our friends were on a cruise and they were stuck.
But we still got the snacks, though, so that's what matters.
So I had a tree that grew over the house, right? And when the previous owner who built the house put a back porch on, they actually notched the overhang on the roof so the tree had room to grow.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful tree. It was great, but it was 90% of the canopy was over the house. Yeah. It was leaning over it. So the insurance companies came along for years. You got to cut the tree down. You got to cut the tree down. And I'm like, no, I'm not cutting the tree down. I'm not cutting the tree down. Like, Matthew came along. Eddie, can you come cut the tree down? That tree that I wanted to cut down? Yes, you can come cut that one down. Yeah. Yes, we're not taking any more chances. It's over top of the house. Come take that one down.
So you mentioned the hurricane season of 2004. That was my first hurricane season in St. Augustine. And I was a dolphin trainer at that point. What a lot of people don't think about is it's not just your first responders and your medical staff. Anywhere where there are animals, there has to be humans there making sure that those animals are okay during the storm. And so since I was a native Floridian, I wasn't super stressed about the storms. I didn't have to stay on premises, but I had to be in as soon as sun was up. And so we had one car that had an emergency clearance pass. And so we all met at a central location, everybody that was going to go in. And we rode in that one car so we could get past all of the barricades.
Yeah.
And so we're taking care of the dolphins, cleaning up the habitats. A lot of sand, a lot of mess.
Down in Marineland? Or you? Yeah. That is a very precarious place.
Yeah.
getting there after a storm is really, because I would imagine the road was pretty covered with sand.
Yeah, so I didn't have to clean up at the new habitats that are there, but I was at the old habitats in the Dolphin Stadium. There was just sand almost to the water level in the habitats, just on the other side of the habitat walls. And so we've got shovels and we've got great big wheelbarrows, and we're just carrying the sand back, dumping it back on the beach.
Yes. So, yeah.
Good times.
Well, it is, there's a lot. I don't anticipate this time, but when they shut the island down, right, they wouldn't let you back on the island. Yep. There's all kinds of protocols before they open the island back up, and they're checking for power, and they're checking to make sure the utilities aren't having an issue, down trees, lines, all those things. And so that takes some time to do that analysis. When they did let us back on the island, at first it was just walking.
Yeah.
Right. And so I had a bike. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I got offered hundreds of dollars for the bike as I'm leaving the island from people that are going to have to walk somewhere to their house. I'm like, nope, I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah.
But also I had stopped at my parents' house to take a look there. When I rode back out, one of the neighbors did not know that I was my parents' son.
Yeah.
And so, before I could get another half mile to the bridge, I was having a nice conversation with a couple of St. Augustine's police officers about who I was and what I was doing.
Yep.
And what's in the backpack? Well, nothing's in the backpack. I'm going to get my tools on the other side and bring them back.
Yep.
And because now I know what I need. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was an interesting conversation. It was a very funny one.
During Irma, you know, we had someone on staff at the church who was there the whole time. So we have a very special organ. The church has a basement. There's a sump pump that's always running to make sure that the basement stays dry and that the organ's protected. Well, the person that was on property at the time was running out of gas for the generator for the sump pump. And my husband and I were less than 2 miles from the church, and we had a gas can with
full of gas.
Full of gas.
Yeah.
And so he puts out a message, you know, if anyone has gas, I need it at the church. And at that point, that was, I think, the second storm of the season that had impacted us. And so gas was out everywhere. So we had gas. So I let him know, okay, I'm coming. He's like, well, there's barricades. I don't know how you're getting through. And my husband said the same thing, but this is me.
So yes.
I'm like, you drive. I'll talk to the police.
Yeah.
And so he's like, are you seriously about to hop out of this car and talk to the police? I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And so he stops at Brody's Liquor, and I walk over to the police who are, you know, telling people they can't come. And let them know, like, we have this very important organ. It's a major thing that we need to protect. And if we don't get gas to him, then it's going to be damaged, and that's a problem. And so he's like, well, I can't make that decision. The police chief can. So I had to call the police chief and explain the whole situation again. And the police chief called up. They let us through. So we were among the first back into the downtown
area.
See,
you got through. When I got stopped, my first tendency was to say, I know the chief of police.
Yeah.
I said nothing. I just let the officer handle it. It all resolved itself very well. He did a very professional, great job. And after it was all over, I said, if I had told you I knew the chief, would that have helped me at all? He said, sir, in these situations, everyone knows the chief.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, good. I'm glad I didn't try to say, would you know who I know? Which is never a good conversation. But the other, you mentioned gas. We had a son who was over at Florida State, and they had a hurricane coming at him. And I said, make sure you fill up your car with gas. He didn't. And on day two of not having power in Tallahassee.
Yeah, he couldn't even get out to you.
Well, he's like, I'm going to try to get home, but all the gas stations don't have power, so I can't fill up here. What am I going to do? I said, well, you're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, hopefully you'll find a gas station on I-10 that has power and still has gas. Yeah. Of course, the first few that he got to had power, had no gas. He finally found one with about 10 miles left to go till he was empty. I'm like, you know, when I tell you to fill up with gas next time, fill up with gas.
I'm serious.
Yeah, we're serious. This is a day you don't know what you're going to fill up with gas.
And Melissa mentioned that the gas stations are already starting to get crazy. So.
Yes. It is going to be.
It's going to be wild.
It's going to be a while. Yeah, you're going to find out what living in Florida is like. And yeah, there should be a baby boom next June, right? Next June should be the baby boom, right? Somewhere in there, June, July. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just saying.
Good time.
just saying. Should be a baby boom.
Yay, babies.
Yes. All right. Do we have five questions?
We do have five questions.
It is Monday. It's five questions. And we may or may not be on the air Yep. Wednesday, Thursday, just depending on the storm.
Yeah.
We're not coming into the studio if we got to get through wind, rain, and floods. So,
yeah.
But Pete will get you information if you stay on the 904 Now app. Pete will have all the latest information because he is amazing.
He is amazing.
And I bought him, they're tucked away underneath here. In case he has to go in deep water, I brought him some water wings.
Oh, that's good.
And Pete, I got small, so they'll fit around your arms. You don't have to worry about that.
You just can't give him too many compliments, can you?
He is absolutely awesome. I just want to make sure he has the floaties to get through the water. He's not a particularly tall man.
He's buoyant.
I know he is buoyant. He does float well. This will be the last day this show is on the app.
No. I really enjoyed it, guys.
Yeah, it was great while it lasted, Pete. All right. What are our five questions today?
Okay, we've got our first question. Would you rather live in the ocean or on the moon?
Man, both of those are some stark realities, but I like oxygen, so I'm going with the ocean.
Yeah. I mean, I think the moon would be lonely.
I think it would be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a place where you really like yourself.
Yeah.
And you really don't like conversations
you
with
don't
anybody
like
else.
People.
Yeah, you just, the moon is a place to go where, oh, I don't like people. Well, we can send you to the moon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the ocean, I mean, mm-hmm. it's more interesting things to see, I think.
Yes. Yep.
What do you think, Isabella?
I don't really like the ocean, but the moon would be lonely. I think I'd want the moon because I don't like the ocean.
All right.
She likes swimming pools.
You do get to, from the moon, I guess you have a vantage point of watching the rest of the destruction of the planet.
Yeah,
so I guess that is something to watch.
Yeah. Depending on how quickly we escalate that.
How quickly it all goes down, right? One night you're just sitting there all by yourself and you go, boy, that escalated quickly.
True story.
I just saw it go around one time and it's over.
Yeah. Oh, look, fireworks. Oh, wait.
Oh, it's not the 4th of July.
Oh, gracious. That's
I think we got a lot out of that question. That was a good question.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather go back in time and meet your ancestors or go forward in time to meet your descendants?
And these are all fresh questions for me. There's a little bit to both of that. I would like to go back in time and hopefully they don't look at me and say the thing that I'm afraid of if I went forward in time. What the hell did you do with our reputation and name, right? Yeah. I'm hoping. So I would like to go back and probably find out. They made a lot of decisions, my ancestors, on how we got to where we are. So that would kind of be a fun thing to do. Yeah. Going forward is to me is more scary, right? You don't know anything. Yeah. Going backwards, you at least kind of know a little bit about what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Isabella?
I would want to go back in time because it would be weird to go into the future.
I've watched too much sci-fi about the dangers of going into the future and changing the trajectory and like the dangers of knowing too much about what you did in your life. And mm-hmm. so I think I would rather go back in time and meet my descendants.
But you could do just as much damage in the past.
You could. You could unmake your own future.
Look,
in the past.
In the 40s, 50s, 60s, I always bet on the Yankees, right? I mean, there's so many things, right, that you could do. I think the future, the thing that scares me is you show up there and they go, you are the one that screwed it up for us.
I know.
You're the guy that completely messed up everything on the planet, and our family's not welcome anywhere.
How sad would it be if you're like, all right, I'm going to go forward into the future to meet my descendants, and there are none?
Yes, yes.
Your line's just done, and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs alone.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sad. At least I know I've got someone to talk to in the past.
It would be very sad. You do know you have someone to talk to in the past.
Yeah.
Unless you get there the day after they died. I really wanted to meet this person. Oh, the machine was off by a week. Sorry.
Oh, my bad.
All right.
Would you rather be the funniest person in the room or the smartest person in the room? So me personally.
Yes.
I've heard that if you're ever the smartest person in the room, then you need to go to a different room. So I think I would rather be the funniest person in the room rather than I would rather learn from other people smarter than me than...
Isabella?
I wouldn't want to be the smartest person in the room because I like being the smartest person in the room. It's happened a couple times.
I'm going to tell you, it rarely has happened to me to be either. Yeah. So I have struggled without my life to be somewhat funny and somewhat smart at times. Yeah. I probably would enjoy making people laugh more. Because sometimes when you know all the answers, if you don't have the right delivery, no one listens to you anyway.
That's true. Right? I mean, Tesla.
If it's a delivery that's filled with arrogance and elitism, it doesn't matter if it's 100% right. People are like, I'm not listening to that jerk.
Yeah, so that's Edison in my mind. And then Tesla is just, he was so smart that he kind of went off the rails and he was incapable of communicating and being social. Mm-hmm. And so then you end up dating a pigeon, and that's just not cool for anyone.
No, I do not want to date
especially
a pigeon.
Especially not the pigeon.
No, it's a terrible thing for a pigeon. Pigeons right. have lives too.
If you could rename yourself, what name would you pick?
What name would I pick if I could rename myself? I'll let you guys go first because I got to ponder that a little bit.
This is Isabella's question, so I'll let her answer.
Yeah, Isabella, what would you rename?
I would probably be either Miley or Bethany. I like those names.
Miley or Bethany?
Yeah.
Your mom did not have that information because you did not travel back in time yet to tell her that before you were born.
True. I still would not have named her Miley or Bethany. I mean, but my daughter is here, so yeah. A name that I loved for a very long time. She's my firstborn. Mm-hmm. So Isabella was a name that I love.
Okay.
And so that would probably be the name that I would change. I'm past the point of hating my name and wanting to change it. She's right there squarely in that phase where she wants to change her name.
And that's the bad thing for me. I have always liked my name.
Yeah.
So I don't have I want to be a different name.
Yeah.
So every once in a while we'll go, and I read the Mitch Rapp series. He's a CIA clandestine agent, a great series. And if you enjoy those kind of books, and so every once in a while, I'll go somewhere and people say, you know, you're giving your name for something. And I'll just say Mitch, mm-hmm. just for the heck of it, because they don't know who I am anyway. So I could give any name. Mm-hmm. I'm Amanda. Oh, okay. That's probably the only, the name change thing has never bothered me. I think my parents did a phenomenal job. And actually, I know what the other names were, Isabella, that I might have been named. My parents did a phenomenal job. The other names were not good.
Dodged a bullet.
Thaddeus was one of the other names.
I believe that if I was going to be a boy, my name would have been Gavin. And they were the males in my dad's side of the family only had males.
Yes.
Only had male babies. Mm-hmm. And so he was convinced that he would only ever have sons. Mm-hmm. And so everyone called me by the name that I would have been had I been a boy. And I was even on a guest list for a wedding by that name. What's weird is I didn't know that.
Yes.
And I ended up naming my son that name. So I would have been Gavin.
Yes.
So in utero, I must have heard that name a lot, and it subconsciously sunk in.
It just stuck.
So when I heard Gavin, Gavin Rosdale first became famous, that was the first Gavin I ever heard of, and I liked the name.
So there was a girl at St. Joe that played sports with my daughter, Wesley. And I'm not going to mention her name, but her nickname that her dad had for her, because he had all girls, and she was the most athletic, she was the youngest, was Jim. Mm-hmm. And so I still see her to this day. Yeah. Jim! Mr. Mike! I mean, it's just...
It was just
one of those funny things that kind of stuck. Yeah. So, yeah, very sweet young lady, though.
All right, so very timely. Final question. What is your favorite hurricane snack? Do you buy hurricane snacks? We always, a big thing in our family is to get junk food to have in the house because you're trapped in there. So you might as well have a party.
Yep. I'm a big M&M guy or Reese's guy. The problem is I'm thinking about, I like my Reese's cold.
Yeah.
I like them frozen, which hurricanes pose a problem for that.
Unless you have a Yeti cooler.
Yeah. And so I'm still, and chips are interesting again because you get to salt, right? Yeah. You want to drink something. And I like my drinks ice cold.
Yeah.
So the ice cold thing is killing me with all of these. So the hurricanes, I struggle on snacking.
So get bottled water, freeze it right now. Mm-hmm. And then your freezer is packed full of bottled water. And it helps you to have cold things and cold water.
I just want the ice for the bourbon. I just have to honestly, bourbon is probably my snack of choice during the hurricane.
You can cut the bottle off, put the ice,
just
the water bottle mold in your glass.
So there was a link today. Some guy has 1,800 words worth of advice who's lived here for on hurricanes. Uh-huh. One of them is if you leave your house and you want to know if the power was out and how long it was out for, you freeze a bottle of water, leave enough room at the top, drop a coin in there.
Put a coin on it after it's frozen.
After it's frozen, stick it in the freezer, right? And then if the coin has sunk somewhere in there, it tells you how long the power was approximately out for, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, smart one.
Yeah, so yes. All right, what's yours?
I like chips, and so I would probably do, and my current favorite, I just told Josh, is my Ruffles queso. I blame my sister-in-law for that. Good, spicy,
I haven't tried
cheesy,
the Ruffles queso yet.
Spicy, cheesy chips, they're good.
Okay. All right, Isabella?
I like sugary cereal, and then Cool Ranch Doritos. Those are so good.
Yeah, Cool Ranch are great, except you got to take your mouth out to be pressure washed when you're done. Just like the best chips ever. But you'll have Cool Ranch flavor for a week.
Problem is she's got braces, so she can't
speak. Oh, no, you can't do that. All right, everybody be safe out there. Amanda will be here tomorrow. We do a show, and then we'll pay attention the rest of the week. But this is St. Augustine this evening. Thanks for Chief Pravat for coming in. You guys be safe out there.